In the least unexpected news of the week, the true coronation took place on Sunday as the Ange train continued its journey through Scottish football, stopping off this week at Tynecastle for another 2-0 victory, and we became champions again. 11 in 12 seasons, back-to-back, blah blah, two trophies on the way to an almost certain treble. And so, we're having another podcast. I am joined now by a fan of the champions who lives overseas. I am joined by Anthony Murray. How are you doing, Anthony?
Hello. Happy Victory Over Fascism Day, everyone.
There's multiple cases of the world where that could be the case. I take it you're referencing Celtic beating the wee Rangers.
It's Victory Over Fascism Day, not Victory of Fascism Day. That's the one we're celebrating in Blighty this weekend. very much a legacy of the Soviet invasion of Eastern Europe at the end of World War II. Not complaining about it. You know, I'm aware there was a greater evil. that's the legacy of the Soviet sphere. Get a Victory Over Fascism Day. Even Slovakia, who invited the fascists in.
So you get Victory Over Fascism Day. Is that just today? You don't have anything tomorrow, like the Russians have got their day on the 9th as well as the 8th. No,
not that I'm aware of. I'm back to school tomorrow, unfortunately.
Right, okay. So what did you do? Did you go around and allowed to beat up anybody who looked like they were goose stepping down the street or anything like that? No, is that not?
I did a classic Tony Murray day off. Went for a swim in a big socialist era swimming pool, 50 metres, right. Very exciting stuff. And then sat drinking too much coffee on the streets, on the strazas, on the piazzas. You know, typical European existence that I have, you know. Reading and drinking coffee in the sun. Yes,
you just sit there with a hat at a jaunty angle on your on your head and read some Norman Mailer or something like that, with an espresso.
I've had too many espressos today. The listener might be sensing that already. but on the back of the big swim, I'm going to come in hot, full of energy, and then expect a big slump.
Right. Okay.
So it's going to catch up with me.
So on the, I thought you were referring to Victory Over Fascism Day. In terms of beating one of the clubs that we tend to associate with more right-wing political views in Scotland, Scottish society. One of my points that I always like to raise to people when they say it's a West of Scotland problem, I always make the point that only one part of Scotland has ever elected somebody on an orange ticket, and that was Edinburgh. So they can wear that badge with shame. So, yes, I thought you were referring to Victory over Hearts and not, actually not an actual Victory Over Fascism Day, which is worthwhile celebrating at all times, I suppose.
Absolutely,
So, did you get to watch the game? Did you see the game?
Yeah, definitely. It was odd. It felt like it was the first time I tuned into Celtic TV for a little while. I don't know. I guess for the recent games against the Zombies, I'd ventured off to Budapest and Vienna and watched it in assorted pubs. And I don't know what other games were in between. Maybe, I don't know, was there an international week maybe recently? It felt like I hadn't heard Tom Boyd's voice shouting penalty for a few weeks. So it was nice to just sit down and watch it in the flat.
So tell us about your viewing experience. What did you, was it, I take it the team's everything you expected it to be, with Carter Vickers out and Alistair Johnson out, then you expected to see Ralston and Kobayashi in the team. Was that what you were expecting?
Yeah, definitely. And also a little sprinkling of excitement and happiness about that. Because you kind of want Ralston to get a run out and be involved, because, you know, he's a good pro. That's, you know, he obviously contributed more last season. But you always get the sense that he wasn't far away this season. You know, it was just that Johnson came in and did so well. Denied him much. I mean, I think Johnson's obviously been excellent. But, yeah, I like Ralston. So it's good to see him getting in. And, yeah, just want to see the... was it Yuki? Is that what his shirt says? It Yuki, I think.
It says Yuki, but for, you know, it's one of these things where his shirt says Yuki. So like, Kyogo Furuhashi, we all call Kyogo, and his shirt says Kyogo.
Yeah.
And yeah, his shirt says Yuki, and that's not what he's getting called. So I don't know.
Right. So yeah, Kobayashi. Yeah, kind of want to see him. I mean, some of the people in my group chats were a little bit critical of his performance yesterday, but it was you know, that it's going to come with time and minutes and experience. Tynecastle's not an easy place to go, so good to see him, you know, getting a run out. Obviously gutted that Carter Vickers and Johnson are kind of out, but you know, they've heroically done their bit and got us where we are, so yeah, it's party time now.
So you watch the Celtic TV coverage, so obviously only bar 1,800 Celtic supporters could do anything other than watch it on the television or listen to it on the radio, whatever. The narrative on the Sky coverage was that Hearts were doing fantastically well, and Hearts had a brilliant, particularly first half. And in fact, Hearts were the better team until they were down to 10 men. I have some thoughts on this because of something I noticed in the game. So what was your feeling of the game watching it on Celtic TV?
My feeling of the game was that Hearts had started well. People in my group chats had acknowledged and celebrated, or you know, at least acknowledged Hearts' high press and all this. So it's going well. But I mean, as long as the ball doesn't hit the back of the net, I don't really get stressed. You know, everyone weathers periods of pressure. You know, Hearts have every right to play well on their own pitch and make a match of it. So it's not like I was panicking. And at no point fearing losing the match, but there was other people acknowledging that we're, you know, it wasn't cruise control, it wasn't a procession, which we've had at Hearts before to on the way to win the title and other places. So yeah, it was a proper match, and they were doing their bit. You know, the brief highlights I've, you know, quickly watched just before we went out, you know, kind of sells the same picture, but I'm sensing you have an alternative narrative here.
Because again, they were pressing high and we felt under pressure and seemed to be having difficulty playing out from the back. And then it was round about the, I remember looking at the clock on the television, it's sort of 21 and a half minutes.
Yeah.
And I thought, they've not pressed for the last minute or two. It's like they've run out of energy. And then I kept looking at the clock, and they never pressed again for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
So it then made me realise their high press that they were getting so much praise on Sky Sports for lasted about 20 minutes. Because if I'm noticing at 21 and a half minutes, they're not quite pressing the same way, then obviously that's maximum a minute and a half, 2 minutes that it's been like that. So, yeah, I felt they pressed and they were doing a good job of pressing us and trying to stop us playing out from the back. But patently, and it's the reason why we are better players than them, they don't have the energy to do that for 90 minutes, and it lasted 20 tops.
And I guess it's all relative, isn't it? You know, across Europe, you'll have elite teams going toe-to-toe, and in European Championships and World Cups, you'll get top teams, you know, pressing the hell out of each other, you know, for 90 to 120 minutes. But the reality is, you know, in this context, you know, they're going to exhaust themselves. Perhaps, you know, with 11 men, they'd have been good for another, you know, 20-minute press after half-time. But, you know, because of, you know, circumstances, that wasn't to be either. But, yeah, I mean, I'll always try and applaud the opponent. I think, you know, Ange Postecoglou will as well. You know, we've no divine right to just go out and pump teams. So, you know, teams are welcome to try and make it difficult for us.
No, absolutely. And I think actually it's one of the things that teams have done badly this year is trying to work out a way to deal with the way that we play football. And for the majority of teams, and, you know, even Rangers up until the last game, their tactic has been, let's just sit in, try and pack our defence and see if the lack of space prevents Celtic creating anything. Seems to be, and patently it's not worked. Because we are winning every game. So you would have thought after a while, managers of other teams in Scottish football would have said, you know what, see if we just go and play against Celtic and just sit in, we'll get beat. So let's see if we can try a different tactic. And you can see that because we are not used to getting pressed at the back, that we're not comfortable when teams do press us up at the back. So you'd have thought it would have been. But anyway, any noticeable moments in the game that you noted before we get to the sending off for the of Cochrane for the foul on Maeda?
Just the, you know, what the, jumped out in the highlights, you know, in a quick review, a sort of, you know, clumsy clearance by Starfelt at one point. You know, he's get moved over to the right hand side, you know, in the absence of Carter Vickers, and the, one of the Hearts players had a good drive that, you know, it was a strange, you know, it whistled past the post, but it looked like the kind of scabby goal that we let in.
Yeah.
You know, down the years we've let in, you know, it's just dropped to someone, they've let one go and it's buried in the side net, and but on this occasion it whistled past. Taylor had a good sort of glancing header from a corner, didn't go on target.
Sorry, I was just going to say, you've just reminded me, actually, one of the, since it's 20 years from Seville, one of my memories of the Seville game is Celta Vigo had a shot almost identical to that Hearts one in the final moments of the game, and I thought, yeah, we'd blown it. We'd lost one of those stupid, we'd fantastic European performances blown by some crappy clearance, and they take a shot at the edge of the box. So yes, I know exactly what you mean, type of thing. Anyway, carry on.
Hearts continue to have a little bit of pressure. You know, Ralston and Taylor, all the defenders were doing their bit. You know, just trying to get the ball away, which is what they had to do. That, you know, the ball wasn't sticking. You know, in our attacking sense, it was one of those games, you know, the classic where, I don't know, certain people within certain group chats that we might both be in will be, you know, where's Giacomakis? Let's get Giacomakis back. This week, Kyogo's minced us. I'm projecting, perhaps. One of those games where Kyogo is nowhere to be seen until he is seen. Neither the fullback, the wingers, playing their best game, their best football. It's amazing how often you just get to the point where your internal monologue just says, oh, I wish Jota was on the left. You know, because it's just the case. He's just better on the left.
Yeah.
And Maeda is just a mystery player. And, you know, we absolutely appreciate everything he does. But he is, you know, he's not the player you'd pay to watch. Whilst we obviously pay to appreciate him, and we know the job he does, so much of it is, you know, head down, sprint. Ah, right, that didn't really get where we wanted it to go. You know, there's nothing beautiful about it. I think after that goal away at Easter Road at Christmas time, I kind of thought, all right, Nader's going to kick on and, you know, be this poet. But who am I kidding? That's not been seen much. Although, like I say, he does contribute. I thought the two midfielders that weren't McGregor were largely invisible. Yeah. Although I think Hatate came into the game more. Sometimes I just wish you'd three McGregors, you know, like one McGregor behind the two other McGregors, you know, because I think he's always trying to be involved. You know, he doesn't hide, he doesn't disappear. And I think that's one of the turning points of the game, that run he goes down the right. You know, how often do these Celtic games we have, you know, turn on McGregor just taking responsibility and running at people? A bit like that one that he did on, you know, for Scotland last month that went viral. And he's done it at Ibrox. He's done it everywhere. You kind of wish he did it more often.
Uh-huh.
Because he's so capable of doing it. And going back to his Notts County days where he would run from the edge of his own D all the way to their D and then bury it. You know, I kind of wish that McGregor still had this one Messi-style wonder goal in his locker that we've yet to see. But, you know, he's taking too much responsibility on his shoulders as a defensive midfielder and just as a ball mover. I don't think we'll ever see that. But his ability to do that, to carry the ball and relieve pressure, is so important. And it is, you know, I don't know if it was around the 20th moment, you know, 20th minute or whatever, but it was that turning point, you know, where Hearts, you know, they'd emptied their tank. We were back in the game and McGregor was like, all right, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And he charged down the right, poked the ball into Hatate, and Hatate, you know, had a pot shot. Again, there's the other one. You remember Hatate's first goal at Tynecastle?
Yeah.
No, you're saying, oh, he's going to do this every week. like, oh no.
So
he obviously has scored some lovely goals, but nothing quite as emphatic as that wonder goal on that occasion. But like I say, you know, it's moments later leads to the situation that ends up with the red card.
Do you know, as you're saying about McGregor and whatever, I did actually get the impression, and I know they wouldn't have thought this way, but it was almost as if, all right, okay, so you're going to have a real go at us. Okay, right, we'll deal with that. And it was almost like halfway through the first half. Right, you finished? Is that you?
Yeah.
Right, okay. We'll now control the game from this point on. Thanks very much. We'll let you have your go. We gave you the position to do that. So, again, then the sending off of Cochrane and the foul on Maeda. So, originally gives a free kick and a yellow card. And then, obviously, it goes to VAR. Again, for many of the people listening to this who have listened to Andy Walker's coverage, who was peeing his pants about how much the referee or VAR had ruined the game. I mean, literally, from that point on, VAR has ruined this game. This sending off has ruined this game. If it should be the referee's job at all times to try and keep 11 men on, or 22 men on the park, 11 men aside on the park. And he should be doing falling over himself to try and find a way to not send players off. I mean, I'm not, you're smirking there. That's actually what Andy Walker said. I'm not exaggerating. He actually said the referees should be bending over backwards and finding ways to make sure he doesn't send players off in a game. And that's ridiculous that they sent him off. So, what was your view on the yellow being turned into red?
As soon as it went to the, you know, check the screen.
Yeah.
The chat seems to be... Tom Boyd was certainly ahead of the curve on this decision. you know, he was crying out for the red before they even went to the screen. They went to the screen, and that does seem to be usually, you know, the mind is made up. I genuinely thought it was a bit harsh and was in a group chat with other people saying, you know, that was a soft one. But then, you know, as many other people have said, you know, by the letter of the law, you know, he's got to go. And I think I was slightly confused by the replay in that I thought the guy inside was within range of being, you know, complicating the issue as whether or not he could have, you know, stopped it being a goal-scoring chance. Uh-huh. But then that doesn't really factor in Maeda at full speed not getting fouled and just being away.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, I mean, my view initially I thought it was a bit harsh. And then particularly when you see the still of its side on, and you know Maeda's pace and the angle of everything. People are saying, well, he had two opportunities, actually, because he could have also squared it to Kyogo. Yeah. He wouldn't have. He'd have just gone and hit it. Now, whether he would have actually scored is another thing, but he would have, the pace he goes, that would have come over his shoulder, he'd have taken one touch, and then his second touch, he'd have hit it. Not a chance in hell of any Hearts player catching him before he hit that.
Yeah.
So that then means if I'm looking at that thinking, right, okay, that's just about to drop over in front of him. He'll take one touch and then his second touch he'll hit it and there'll not be a Hearts player within 6 or 7 yards of him by the time he hits it and takes a shot on goal. Then you have denied a clear goal scoring opportunity. If that's what I think is clearly going to happen, then I would argue you've denied a clear goal scoring opportunity.
Does it factor in Maeda's first touch going out for a goal kick? Which is not beyond the realms of imagination.
No, it doesn't. Interestingly, on Sky's review of decisions that they do, Dermot Gallagher said that there was a correct decision to send him off.
Right.
But I do think Dermot Gallagher has Celtic leanings. So
yeah.
So that was that. They're down to 10 men. One of the group chats that I'm in with someone that you know was suggesting multiple half-time changes, as happens in every game where Celtic are not winning by 2 or 3 at half-time. Invariably, it involves taking off all three midfielders and possibly three up front at the same time. But no, I thought that, saw that and I thought, right, okay, so Hearts are now just going to sit in for the whole of the second half. And every team this season has proved that you cannot sit in for a full second half against Celtic at 0-0 and expect to win the game. And
it's a strange one. I mean, we're always aware that, you know, Tynecastle's the small pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that came to mind as soon as I think Hitate's first touch in the game, he tried like a sort of classic Hatate sprayed pass. I mean, it went comically out of the park. It had gone out, you know, had it been the new comp or Wembley, it would have gone out of the park.
Yeah.
But, you know, just how out of the park would it have gone? You know, had it been at Celtic Park or whatever, you know, it is tighter in there. And it is, you know, players must have to adapt to the circumstances. But yeah, there's the way Celtic play, the way they're coached, the way they're drilled. It is just a matter of time before we create the chances. And particularly against 10 men, you know, you're more often than not going to pull them apart, aren't you?
Well, you mentioned the principle of three McGregors. It was a Callum McGregor pass that sets up for the cross for the Kyogo goal. I know Kyogo scores a lot of front post goals anyway with a run across, but particularly against Hearts, how many goals has he scored? I can think of quite a few. Only because of the amount of times I can think of Robbie Nielsen complaining that it was offside when it wasn't, and then talking about referees and moving the blame away from himself and onto whether referees are right or not. But how many Kyogo front post runs clipping it in over the keeper as he scored, in particular against Hearts? And that was another one. So it was your McGregor in the middle and then Kyogo passing it on that was the thing. So once that went in, was that it?
It was one of those slightly annoying ones where you had sent the message saying yes, and I had not seen it yet. So it's that, oh, good, but oh, no, you know, it's taken the moment away. So, yeah, Celtic TV, speed up your broadband. You punctured that moment. So, yeah, I knew it was coming, but I didn't know what was coming. So, yeah, McGregor, you know, on his good foot, his left foot, you know, a little sort of Tom Brady quarterback, little float over the line. Hatate does a great run. That was something that was missing out in the entire first half. Midfield runners. You know, there was no Armstrong or Petrov stuff getting done in that first half.
Yeah.
And the first time Hatate realised, he was probably told off at halftime, you know, you got to get up there. Not that, you know, you can imagine Hatate hitting that pass as well. But on this occasion, yeah, he's the one running through straight down the right. And yeah, it squares it and buries it. And, you know, somewhere in the stand, Craig Gordon's waving his arm. You know, like furiously at some fine decision by the assistant referees. Kyogo's just a goal machine. He's just as good as they come. Yeah.
On your point about the stream, I don't know if I think I've mentioned it on here before, but my favourite one is when we beat Rangers 2-0 at Ibrox when Johnny Hayes scores the second goal by the end of the game, and I was watching it with my dad on a stream that was marginally behind. And Rangers get a corner kick, and my phone just starts going crazy with stuff. And so I'm thinking, oh, what happens here? So the corner comes in, and then we clear it, and I turn to my dad and say, I think we're going to score here. And Edward goes up the park with it, and McGregor saves it. And I'm thinking, McGregor saved it. And then Hayes comes in and scores, and my dad's like, "Wow, how could you see that was coming?" Oh, I just felt, I don't know, it just felt like we would go up and score once. So yeah,
some of the bigger games, I literally turn off all devices. You know, I'd kind of forgotten yesterday. I try to get the sort of raw experience of it. Certainly, European nights when I'm, oh god, I could be 5-10 minutes behind. You know.
Yeah, it's actually interesting if you're ever watching a stream that's a good minute and a half behind, that you're trying to work out that you know your stream's behind, but you're not quite sure how far behind your stream is, and you're trying to work out, right, okay, doesn't look like anything is going on just now that could possibly create a goal.
Yeah, you how start far second guessing yourself. It's like, that was an awfully flamboyant tweet or message about nothing. All right.
And then it's got so bad now that because I've got a watch that's connected to my phone as well. Yeah. Occasionally, when I'm at a game, and my watch buzzes for half a second, I think, "Oh, what's about to happen?" So that was us one up. Did you think that was it? Game over? They weren't going to come back? That's the League One.
Yeah, I mean, you have to wonder what the stats would be in terms of, you know, Celtic up against 10 men having taken a lead. You know, the vast majority of those situations, Celtic usually, certainly domestically, close it out quite comfortably. You're against a dispirited and increasingly tired, 10 men of Hearts. It was going to happen. And then, of course, with the injection of the new legs, you know, it's how we do it. And very clever players that are capable of contributing in this situation. Hak Sabanovic, such an odd season. You know, genuinely, I like him. I think he's good. But he has sort of been cornered as this influential substitute at this point. You know, he hasn't really done it enough to deserve to be in ahead of the players that do start. Moy, of course, had played himself up to that point, and then due to injury and absence, you know, slumped back to, you know, being day one Moy.
Yeah.
You know, oh dear, he's old and he's finished. But, you know, looked very fresh and very, very competent, involved yesterday. And then, of course, thrown in. Did he come on for Kyogo? Was it a straight swap?
He came on for Kyogo, yeah.
Right. So there you go. You got fresher legs. And it was a lovely goal, wasn't it?
It was.
Hak Sabanovic fed Moy. Moy clipped across. It's funny, you know, when you get a player that, you know, there's so many of our players, when they're put through on their weaker foot, you're kind of like, ah, right. You know, like, I mean, not to say that O'Reilly's not had assists on his right foot, but when he gets put through inside right, you're kind of like, all right, I don't know how he's going to get out of this one. Yeah. But Moy's quite, you know, you can bet on him just passing it across. You know, uh-huh. He's not trying a big fancy hooked cross. He's not trying to Tosh McKinley it to the back post. He's just trying to put it into the space. Very, you know, side foot it. And there was, you know, leaping in with a nice stretch and a volley. You know, so that was a really good goal. I thought was looking a little bit heavier than he has been. I don't know if we need to get him on some kind of...
No, he is a big boy.
Or something.
You know, obviously, even, you know, when he comes on at Celtic Park, I'm in the North Stand upper, so he's a million mile, you know, far away. The nearest I've been to him was when we played Ross County. And obviously, at their ground, you're really close to the pitch. And that's when I mean, you can tell he's big, but that's when I noticed just how big he is. He is a really, really, really big boy. And I don't know whether they will be wanting to try and reduce that down a wee bit. I mean, I'm all for players being strong and physical and makes them very robust, but it can make them a bit immobile sometimes. So I don't know whether we'll be working on that over the summer.
One of the weirdest ones to look back at is young John Hartson. Like Luton, I think it was Luton he was at, probably went to Arsenal. And then, you know, when he's just signed at Arsenal. Yeah, kind of skinny and fat at the same time, John Hartson. It's very odd, you know, considering the huge man that we had, you know, by the end of his career. And, you know, there was some fluctuations where you see him looking more lean, you know, sort of Seville season, he looked a lot leaner than he did, you know, when he was scoring overhead kicks and stuff.
Yeah, and his goal against Liverpool at Anfield.
Yeah. And then relative to, you know, later sort of Strachan era, highlights you see, it's like, all right, he's bigger than the big that he was, but yeah. So O could, I don't know if O's gonna, you'll get lean or just become an absolute monster, but yeah, certainly a fan of his. I think he's, that's the other thing about the young Hartson, you know, he could run, you know, and O seems to be kind of like that. He does look quick over, you know, a certain amount of space, so you're just kind of wanting to see a goal where he maybe runs a guy, you know, does a guy and buries one, you know, you sense it's there. He probably does it at training, you know, but it's not happened yet. But it's great to see him score on such a big day.
And it was such a well-taken goal, the way that he did it and just let it across goal. Because, you know, he against Motherwell, one of our two draws this season, he had a header. It was Rocco Vatta put in a great cross.
Yeah.
In the final minute or two, and he had a header that all he needed to do was just connect and put it in a straight line, and it was a goal. And he somehow, from like 3 yards out, somehow managed to miss. So it was good that he got into that position and took it well and scored. So that's us champions, and we'll talk about being champions in a wee minute. I just want to quickly, just since we're mentioning, talk about the rest of the season. What do you think Ange will do with the team between now and the rest of the season? I mean, not that there's that many games. Obviously, we've got four games now post-split, one of which is away at Ibrox. And then we've got the cup final. He's obviously going to want to have his key players fit for the cup final to win the treble. Do you think he'll keep playing them? Do you think he'll rest players? Do you think he'll do much more squad rotation? What do you think he'll do?
I think it will be rest over, you know, the record-breaking sort of stuff. I just don't think, is it worth it? Do you know what I mean? Does anyone really care if we break those records? I personally, yeah, I'd rather make sure we turn up at the Scottish Cup final. I mean, it's a strange one, isn't it? Because we're playing a lesser level team.
Yeah, who now, they don't play now until the Cup final.
Right, so they'll be fresh.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's
equally,
an odd one.
I suppose the argument is because you hear football people talking about there's a fine balance between being fresh and your chuck's being a bit out because you've just not played for a month.
Yeah. The interesting thing with the back four is it's being forced upon us.
Yeah.
So that is a really interesting dynamic that you are going to have guys that wouldn't have played at Ibrox getting played at Ibrox.
I can imagine Starfelt will not get rested because he want to build the relationship between Starfelt and Kobayashi all the way through to the cup final so that they played together for four or five games.
Part of me would love, I mean, obviously the best outcome of all potential scenarios is literally send the B and the C team to Ibrox and win.
Yeah.
That's best case scenario. That's hilarious. Realistically, would that happen? Possibly not. But it would also, that'd be, I'd rather send the B and C team to Ibrox and lose than send the A team to Ibrox and lose, which I don't think is very likely because I think we're a much better team, but it's not impossible.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see that. I mean,
well, no matter what, I think it won't be the full. I think even if he decides I'm not sending a complete B team to Ibrox, I don't think it will be the full first 11 of the fittest players who will start at Ibrox. I would be surprised if it's that.
And then, you know, that'd be a huge opportunity for people, you know, let's say Turnbull starts at Ibrox.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, right, go and prove you're a Celtic player.
Like Hak Sabanovic that you've just mentioned. That was the other player that maybe. Think about that. I do think sometimes there's a bit of an issue of you're coming on for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And you know you're coming on for 20 minutes, and no matter how hard you are trying to just play your normal game, well, you know, there was a stat came up on Sky, maybe even, it was either at half time or after 30 minutes, that Kyogo had had four touches of the ball at that point in the game, right? So you don't want to come on for 20 minutes and have two touches of the ball. So no matter how much, you then start trying and you then start risking moving out of position and doing a bit of headless chicken stuff to chase the ball. And so the ability to say to know that you're starting a game allows you to play it differently, hopefully.
I'd love to see Hak Sabanovic started on the left at Ibrox. I'd be fine with that. I think he'd have a legitimate gripe, you know, if he gets started on the right. Because it's just not his position. You know, it's absolutely not. Should he be able to do both? Perhaps. But I don't think, what Maeda does on the left, I think Maeda does on the right. I don't think there's a major difference.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the record shows that Maeda has given Tavernier, you know, a torrid time or whatever.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think Hak Sabanovic would leave that guy in knots. I think he'd rip the piss out of him. Maybe even better than the way Jota has. You know, Jota has played him, and I love, you know, Jota never hides. Jota's always involved, but Jota, you know, can still be stopped. Not suggesting for a moment that I'd pick Hak Sabanovic ahead of Jota, but if you are going to rest Jota, make sure Hak Sabanovic gets played in his premier position, and then play Abada down the right, where, you know, give Maeda a day off.
Well, Abada has twice come. Is it twice he's come in when Borna Barisic has been ended up sitting in his arse? As Abada has just come in from nowhere and scored at the back post.
We're in a sort of loaded position in that if we play Abada, who is a guy that most of the people I speak to, you know, there'll be no tear shed if or when Abada leaves. But it's also hilarious that the Rangers fans are terrified of him. And rightfully so, because he's put them in the sword several times. So it's a kind of strange one where, he's basically a zombie slayer / potential Celtic reject in the oddest and kindest way. You know, I think we're better than him, potentially. Although, ironically, he might go off and get a big money move to a higher league. You know, go with our blessing, you know. Hopefully we'll find someone better.
I think if he leaves, it'll be for upwards of 7 million quid.
I think that's bonkers.
He's a young player with pace who plays up front. I mean,
he can strike a ball as well.
And he can strike a ball, and that's what clubs are looking for. They're all looking for that guy who gives them, who's a wee bit different, who does something, and whether it's he's got a trick or it's pace, that's what everybody's looking for in the modern game. So he offers that. I mean, look at Frimpong. He's now getting talked to moving on again.
I follow the Bundesliga on YouTube, and like the amount of Frimpong stuff they post. You know, like, you'd think he was, like, a sort of Haaland-level talent. You know, he is one of the Bundesliga have clearly decided he is one of their poster boys.
Yep.
And they post these videos of all his assists and goals and stuff. And it's like, he was just our right back. obviously, a fine player, fast as lightning. I think he's got a little bit bigger. I don't know how. I even tried to Google this the other day, because we bought him, he was very young.
Yep.
And, you know, he could still feasibly have grown since then, but I don't know if he has.
Or well, he may have sort of filled out more into the phrase that Brendan Rodgers used to use about younger players, maturation.
Yeah.
You know, it's maybe a delay in his maturation. That's what he used to talk about. Maybe his maturation just needed a wee bit of time. To develop and anyway, so yeah, Abada might, you know, Abada, as I say, look at Frimpong. Yes, I remember when as one of my mates said, when it came through that we'd sold him for 11 million quid, he thought somebody had missed out the dot. It was 1.1. So do you think Ange will rest the players? I mean, there is a part of me thinks maybe he'll play the full team against Rangers and then rest a lot of them for the final three games and then bring them back for the cup final, or maybe just rest them for a couple of games and then have them back for the last game of the season of the cup final. There's, I suppose, there's various options to
thinking back, the 5-1 game at Ibrox when Lustig scored the great goal.
Yeah.
Was it mathematically finished when we played that game?
Hold on, and I'll be able to tell you the five. Yes, it was. It was math because we'd actually won the league the earliest ever when we'd won 5-0 at Tynecastle on the 2nd of April.
Okay,
so then we drew with Thistle 1-1. Then we beat Kilmarnock 3-1. Then we drew with Ross County away 2-2. Then we beat Rangers 5-1.
What about the Miravchik game, the 3-0 game? Was it sewn up then?
When yes,
Lubo scores two in the second half.
Lubo, and there was one where Sean Maloney came on. It was guaranteed by that point. Right. That's why
so both those games are similar examples where it's done, but just out of spite, we'll go out and horse them one more time.
Yes. So the Celtic team for that game against Rangers, that always slightly frustrated me that we were 4-0 up after 66 minutes. That I thought, yeah, this is the game, we go out and score seven against them. And we sort of took the foot off the gas a bit. And then Kenny Miller scores and then Lustig scores the goal. The Celtic team for that game was Gordon, Lustig, Simonovic, Boyata, Tierney, Brown, Armstrong, Roberts, McGregor, Sinclair, Griffiths. So pretty much first 11.
Yeah, hindsight is the strangest thing. I remember going into that summer thinking, oh, Boyata and Simunovic, they're the pillars upon which we will build our future. Absolute shitebags, the pair of them. Yeah.
We then, well, after we saw, maybe another indicator is, so when we had won the league against Hearts 5-0 at Tynecastle, and then we played Partick Thistle the next game at home, we played 3-4-3 according to the Celtic website, and the Celtic team was Lustig, Simonovic, Sviatchenko, Gamboa, Kouassi, Beaton, Izaguirre, McGregor, Sinclair, Roberts, with the bench being Bailey or Bailly, Toure, Henderson, Tierney. Right, I would suggest that Brendan Rodgers went down the I'm going to give everybody a rest route.
Yeah,
looking at that team, then we played Kilmarnock at home. and the team was Gordon Lustig, Simonovic, Boyata, Forrest, Brown, Armstrong, Tierney, McGregor, Sinclair, Rob. Yes. So we drew at Thistle, home to Thistle, and Brendan thought, stuff that. I'm playing the first 11.
Right.
And we then beat Kilmarnock 3-1. So that was that. So here's a question I was going to ask you, right? And I'll run through the teams to remind you. Firstly, we are likely, there's a very good chance we might equal the Invincibles team. What's the better team, the Invincibles team or this team?
This one. I think this one. Tierney's better.
Well, so I'm going to go through the team because for me, the difference, and I find it difficult to say whether the team's individual, but for me, the difference is, as we've just talked about, I think we've got a bigger, we've got a squad where everybody's of virtually the same, large chunks of roughly the same ability. You know, in terms of players that can come in and out, it wouldn't be the end of the world if Moy had started yesterday instead of O'Reilly, or if Iwata had started and McGregor had been slightly further up the pitch.
But I mean, that team you just read out there surprised me that, you know, you forget Spielchenko is still there.
Yeah.
You know, so that's part of the brain's misremembering how long he stayed. But then I also remember that I think I went home that Christmas and Sviatchenko scored a great goal at Celtic Park, you know, as did Armstrong, who at the time, you know, maybe wasn't a starter. So I don't think Armstrong and Sviatchenko are as bad a player or as bad a pair of players as we might think, you know, relative likeness.
But if I look at the bench, and when we won 5-0 at Tynecastle, the bench was Beaton, Aitchison, Kouassi, Gamboa, Mackay, Stephen, Touré.
But was there other players that were out injured?
Well,
I think there must have been, because that's the game Sinclair starts up front. So Dembele's
Dembele's out injured, yeah.
And Dembele's then, out injured. Griffiths, where's Griffiths? Was he on the bench?
And Griffiths was, if I read the team out, so yeah, Griffiths wasn't available either.
Right. So Griffiths and Dembele aren't
available.
I mean, that's a big difference, because Griffiths was excellent, as was Dembele. You know, so if you were ranking them, you're missing out two key players. It's not like Gary Mackay-Stevens was heavily involved.
Yeah, so if you look, Aitchison, so if Griffiths and Dembele are fit, Aitchison and Kouassi don't make the bench, effectively. Yeah. And then Mackay-Stevens and Gamboa, are probably not coming on, that you've got other players coming on instead of them starting the team. But if you look at that team, it was Gordon, Lustig, Simonovic, Boyata, Forrest, Brown, Armstrong, Tierney, McGregor, Roberts, Sinclair. So the question, if you're comparing the teams, I suppose, would be out of those players, or maybe even if I look to when we beat Rangers, that might be a better idea. Because who was fit on that day when we beat Rangers 5-1? Gordon Lustig, Simonovic, Boyata, Tierney, Brown, Armstrong, Roberts, McGregor, Sinclair, Griffiths, Dembele still not fit, De Vries, Beaton, Gamboa and Sviatchenko on the bench. I'll go through the Rangers team, see how many of these players you can remember. Fotheringham, Tavernier, Hill, Wilson, Bierman, Hindman, substituted by Garner, Holt, Windass, Miller, Waghorn, Dodu, substituted by Halliday, Mackay, Forrester, Bates, and O'Halloran on the bench. No wonder we beat them 5-1, and no wonder I was agitated we should have knocked 6 or 7 or 8 past them.
You said 6 names there that I thought were 3 guys. I had not factored in these were separate people. So yeah, that's how unforgettable or forgettable they were. That so said, you know, since the day we beat them 6-2 in 2000 and whatever it was, I've filed Rangers under shite, and I'll never shake on that. Yeah, I'll never budge on that. The fact that we lost titles to Rangers this century is embarrassing. And when we did, it was embarrassing. The fact that Martin O'Neill lost a treble to a shite Rangers team is a bigger black mark than the achievement of getting to Seville. I'm sorry. That's a humiliating, you know? So, yeah, they've never changed. They never will change. Although they did die. No, I've got no respect for them. And I'm not convinced. Yeah, hell, Tavernier's the same guy. You know, they've literally got the same player that was on that shite team. All that, you know, and they've convinced themselves he's good, and he clearly isn't. So
if I was to take this Brendan Rodgers roughly from the Invincible season, maybe sort of like the prime starting 11 might have been Gordon, Lustig, Simonovic, Boyata, Tierney. You know, so Gordon in goals, Lustig, Simonovic, Boyata, Tierney, right? Would you cheat if I then take the back four of the sort of mainstay back four second half of this season under Ange? Now, the important thing is you're playing under Ange and under Ange's system to then compare the players. So Gordon, Lustig, Simonovic, Boyata, Tierney, who out of them interchanges with Hart, Johnson, Carter Vickers, Starfelt, Taylor?
Tierney starts.
Yep.
CCV starts.
Uh-huh.
First season, Lustig. I think Lustig goes off a cliff after the first treble season and is utterly garbage.
So this season's Lustig. This season I'm talking about, the Invincible season's Lustig.
Invincible season, Lustig, I will accept. Anything beyond, no chance.
Right, so who's your goalkeeper?
That's Gordon, it. If you're asking me to pick between Johnson or Ralston.
No, so I'll go through Gordon or Hart. Gordon of the Invincible season or Hart of this season?
Oh, I'm not convinced by either. I think they're Rab Douglas 1, 2 and 3. They're guys that were at Celtic who did okay under a dominant team. I don't think they've changed the Celtic team. I know some Celtic fans dislike Craig Gordon. I don't really. It's much of a much. I can't. I'll say Hart because I quite like. I'll accept that Hart has brought a positivity as a off-field ambassador, etc., etc.
Okay,
maybe
so you
not
go,
as
you
big
go for
a dick
Hart,
as
right,
I always
okay.
thought he was. Kind
so,
of thing.
So then for the right back, is it Lustig or is it Alistair Johnson? Lustig of this season or Alistair Johnson?
It's Johnston every day of the week.
Right, okay. Then who the two centre-halves? You've got Simonovic and Boyata and Carter Vickers and Starfelt. So you're picking two of those four.
Can I play Carter on the right and Vickers on the left?
No.
That's you. It's to do with expectations. At the time, like I say, I will always define that Rodgers team by their high watermark, which is away at Anderlecht, you know, a few months later, where they go out, get a clean sheet in an away Champions League game, and we dick all over a team. And you think, right, Rodgers isn't going to embarrass us in Europe. You know, this is going to work. Turns out it didn't. You know, other bigger teams, you know, took us to big school. But on that night, you're thinking Simunovic is a Croatian Vidic and Bayat is a poor man's company. Both acceptable options. Neither of them pan out to be particularly good. Twist my arm, I guess I'm picking Bayat.
Yeah, I'd go with Bayat and Carter Vickers. And then left back, Tierney or Taylor?
Tierney.
Yeah, exactly. I can only know one man. There's probably only two people on the planet who would pick Taylor. One of them is in a WhatsApp chat because he doesn't like Tierney anymore. Then we've got. So I'm just going to try and put. I'm going to try and create his Invincible team in a 4-3-3 that's similar. So the midfield of Brown, Armstrong, and McGregor.
Can I get two out of three McGregors here?
Yeah, you can have two. No, you can only pick one of these McGregors. Well, you can have McGregor. So Brown, Armstrong, McGregor, or we'll pick the team that played on Saturday, McGregor, Hitati, and O'Reilly. So who's your three in the middle of the park?
I'm going McGregor deep, Armstrong, Hitati.
Wow, so no Brown. No Celtic
legend. I liked Armstrong. I thought Armstrong was a good player. His goal in the cup final was magnificent. I like Brown, but I'm picking Armstrong and Hitati over Brown. Yeah.
Okay.
And you? Then who'd you pick?
I would probably go Brown, McGregor, and Hitati.
Right.
That's a number 10. And then the front three, Sinclair. Or Sinclair, as he likes to be called, and you can. I'm going to have four from the Invincible team because principally four, and then so either you've got to pick three from this group,
right?
So the two wide from the wide positions, Roberts, Forrest, Sinclair from the Invincible team, or Jota, Maeda. Abada from this current team.
Pick two of these six.
Two of them. One in the left and one in the right.
Jota every day of the week. Treble season Sinclair is in the conversation, but like so many of those other players, a big drop off.
But we're only picking the Invincible season, so.
Yeah, but then Paddy Roberts was excellent as well.
Yeah, but is Paddy Roberts not more of a Jota type player? You know, it's managed under Ange, who's wanting a high press game. You know,
I think they'd all do well under Ange, but I think if you're
and bear in mind, this is possibly Forrest's best ever season as a Celtic jersey. Certainly
it was the next
season.
One.
Was it the next season?
It's the next one in the nice sort of Lisbon Lion homage because that's when he scores. He finally scores against the Huns in the 5-0 game.
That's right.
So I'd say it's not. I think peak Forrest is coming, but I'd argue this wasn't peak Forrest. I guess I'm picking Jota and Sinclair. And that's the thing. Going into that summer, I was making the argument to anyone that would listen that his stats were better than Larsson's season one stats. And I expected big things from Sinclair kicking on.
Yep.
And I think second season Sinclair stats are okay. He does score away at Anderlecht. But I don't know why I never, there was something missing in terms of believing in him. And
He didn't seem to believe in himself as much as anything else, I felt. I would have gone with the same two. I would go with Jota and Sinclair.
Yeah.
And then, so through the middle, do you have Kyogo or Dembele?
I'd pick Griffiths over Dembele and I'd pick Jota ahead of Griffiths.
You'd pick Kyogo over Griffiths?
Oh, sorry, Kyogo. Yeah, Kyogo.
You'd pick Griffiths over Dembele?
Yeah, every time of the week. Peak Griffiths was bloody brilliant. And, you know, judging him by his later form and his lifestyle choices, etc., etc., garbage. But, you know, a 40-goal season, a goal at Ibrox in that game. I'll always think there's a parallel universe where Griffiths played that treble season, all of it, and scored 50 goals. It just wasn't this one. Dembele got my nerves. He played, 67% of the time that he could have played?
Oh, that was more the second season.
And that's his entire Celtic career. I've done the numbers. He missed a lot of games. And that slow walk-off thing he used to do when getting subbed off, Ange wouldn't have put up with that shit. No chance. Ange had to chase that guy.
Yeah, well, there is the fact that the reason Dembele's never gone on more than he's got is because he's got a hole in his heart. That is part of his injury issue.
All right, well, nobody told me that.
No, that's a secret. That's a secret that I was told by someone very well connected to Fulham when Celtic got him. That's why we got him so cheaply.
Right, okay. So he's,
and that's why he's never moved on massively after that.
I don't know, he played for Atletico Madrid. You know, he's...
Well, but then went back to Lyon again.
Yeah.
And that's why, no, what I mean by that is that's why clubs have talked about signing him for 50, 60 million quid and it's never happened.
Right.
So there you go.
Just to bring
it down into the conversation.
I'm sure Griffiths has got a hole in some of his vital organs. He's got a hole in the head. Completely different reasons.
Yeah. Right, okay, so that's your team. So your team, I've now forgotten it, is Hart, Johnson, Boyata, Carter Vickers, Tierney, McGregor, Hatate, Armstrong, Roberts, Sinclair.
It wasn't Roberts. It was Jota.
Jota, Sinclair, with Griffiths through the middle.
Kyogo through the middle.
Kyogo through the middle. Do you know what would have been really useful if I'd actually written this down as you're speaking to? Kyogo through the middle. Well, I know you're a big Kyogo fan, so yeah. But interestingly, you'd have had Griffiths on the bench instead of Dembele. That's the interesting one. Overall, your view of the season from afar of this season just passed?
It's been excellent. But it's funny, you know, reflecting on that the first treble season, that, you know, the hope that we have, you know, is, you know, there's the caveat of what do we do in the Champions League next year?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't doubt Johnson for a moment, but Johnson might go into the Champions League and toil, you know. Carter Vickers might have a nightmare away at the San Siro or something. You know, there's a million things could happen that could, you know, mean that, you know, in the same way I believed in Sinclair, Boyata and Siminovic, they might not pan out as superstars. You know, a bunch of them played in the Champions League this year, so you'd be wanting Kyogo to get, you know, six games, you know, and score a bunch of goals. I guess the only one that really came out of last year's Champions League with major pass marks was Jota, and that he scored a couple of goals, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, scored a brilliant free kick in Madrid.
Yeah, and so, yeah, there's a lot, and, you know, the good thing is we have a manager that won't be, you know, lacking the awareness of that, you know, the ability to kick on, improve yourself, and not just, you know, rest in your laurels. So, yeah, really, really enjoyed this season. Obviously, from day one, I've been monitoring Kyogo's relative form. I've got some stats here for you.
Right, give me your Kyogo stats.
This is because obviously I did it last season. There was a column for Larsson and a column for Kyogo, and how much in relative terms Kyogo dominated Larsson versus Larsson's first season. So now we're obviously comparing Larsson's second season, where Larsson goes on to score 38 goals, right? So that's what Kyogo's competing against. So I'll be honest, it's mostly red for Kyogo this season. Right. But there's still a lot of minutes to play, and there's potential for Kyogo to take over Larsson, right? So Kyogo's already played 45 games. Larsson played 46 games that whole season.
Right.
In his second season. So you have to assume Kyogo's going to turn that red green. Yeah?
Yep.
Right. So league appearances 35 to 32. Unless Kyogo gets rested, not impossible. He might turn that one green. European goals, European appearances, Larsson wins that 8-6. Goals total right now is 38-30. Probably not going to win that one.
Nope.
League goals 29-24. Not impossible, but again, factoring in potential rest, unlikely. European goals, Larsson the King 4, Kyogo 0.
Yep.
So comprehensive victory at the highest level. Couple of percentage ones that Larsson wins. Then it gets interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Cup final goals, Henrik Larsson 0, Kyogo 2. Already with a cup final to spare.
Have you got assists in this?
I don't have assists. No. Goals versus Ibrox clubs, plural. Henrik Larsson gets 3. Kyogo's already got 5. With a game to spare, once again.
Yeah, but don't forget, Henrik Larsson was playing against a financially doped Rangers. I mean, when Henrik Larsson's doing this, Rangers are, you know, the taxpayers paying for the Rangers players. So to be fair, he's playing against a slightly better quality of a player funded by the taxman.
Potentially. Right? Here's an interesting one. Goals per 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Henrik Larsson, 0.79. Bloody good. Kyogo, 0.91. The winner. So if Kyogo played every minute, he'd score more goals. That's what we're learning there.
Well, the only thing I would say is the very different players, getting back to my comment about after 30 minutes, number of touches on the ball by Kyogo was 4. And that Kyogo, if I think back to Celtic style of play back then, Henrik Larsson was heavily involved in all of the forward play. Whereas, and I'm not criticising because it's the way he's told to play. Yeah. So maybe if he was asked to play the Larsson way, he would play a different way. But certainly the play is, we're going to get to the final third fairly centrally, and then we're going to go wide. And your job, Kyogo, is to then make the runs as those wide balls are coming in.
Yeah.
Very simplistically. And so he's moving around in the space and he's not really getting involved. Larsson's expected to, you know, there's the play up to the big man principle of Sutton or Hartson. Larsson then take it off one of them and then do something with it. I suppose how many of the individually created goals can you think of from Kyogo compared to how many I can think of off the top of my head for Larsson?
Yeah. I am being silly, of course.
No, but there is merit in the principle of he puts the ball in the back of the net.
Part of me wishes we got more of Kyogo the footballer, because I absolutely think he's excellent. You know, there'd be so many times I'd rather see Kyogo, you know, playing in the midfield or, you know, off the three in O'Reilly's position. I think he'd be better than O'Reilly is. And I think there's been times in a bind where, the times we have seen O and Kyogo on the pitch at the same time, ever so briefly, and usually in a bit of a panic situation, that I've seen enough of Kyogo dropping off and playing football and, you know, spraying it wide and making moves. I think Kyogo's such a gifted footballer. I really wish we did see more of him. But, you know, we can only, you know, I'm not complaining about Angie's method. And I think, you know, both players would be excellent in different environments. Like, put Larsson in the Celtic team, he scores hundreds, you know, obviously. But then the most important stat, of course, trophies won, Larsson 0, Kyogo currently 2, probably 3. There you go.
The interesting thing actually was, you know, obviously we didn't watch it, but Kyogo was, I remember reading all the stuff when he came to, you know, before he came to Celtic, was that Kyogo was principally a wide left player, that he was playing for his club side most of the time. And that Maeda, and yet we're playing him through the middle, and Maeda, who, you know, when we signed him, he'd been, and he still plays centrally through the middle for the Japanese national side. And yet we see him just as a guy who plays out wide. And in fact, based on your comments about Maeda and the ball sort of bouncing off him and stuff like that, I do wonder whether we should be seeing more of Maeda straight through the middle rather than out wide.
I mean, the thing about Kyogo, you know, those, like, every time we sign a player, you know, you go on YouTube, you look up the video, what does this guy look like? Whether it's, you know, Bayou or Edward or anyone, we look them up and you try to see what you want. Klamala, and some of these videos, you know, they're just like dregs of highlights, you know, like,
yep,
garbage, utter garbage. Because, you know, to be fair, some of these players are young, they've not done that much. But the Kyogo video was unbelievable. Like anyone who's surprised by how good Kyogo is just isn't paying attention, because his original highlights video of stuff in Japan was breathtaking. You know, hoof, really good shots with his left foot, his right foot, through balls, dribbling, you know, just magnificently composed finishes. The guy is brilliant. And, yeah, since the first day he pulled on a shirt, he's looked very good at Celtic. Was it his second game he scored a hat-trick?
Mm-hmm.
And that's him now up to 50 goals already. So he's on crazy, you know, numbers. If, you know, in recent times, well, even go back to, you know, my youth, it's like, who's the guy that stays? You know, we get a one and done out of Van Hooijdonk, a one and done out of Cadet, a one and done out of Viduca. Sutton, Hartson and Larson hang around for a bit, you know. Hooper hangs around for a couple of seasons.
Yep.
Scott McDonald was oddly a kind of one and done. Zdarsky was a one and done. You know, all these guys came, had one great season. You're waiting for, you know, this guy will easily hit 50 goals for Celtic. And then so many of them don't for weird reasons. Mostly they just leave, you know, whether it's Edouard or Dembele or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to get to 50 goals already, you know, brilliant achievement. And, you know, he'll be 28, I think, at the end of this season.
Yeah.
If a big team was to come and try and sign him, you couldn't begrudge him leaving. I hope he doesn't. I hope he enjoys Glasgow and playing for Celtic and winning trophies and being adored. I don't know, playing golf. Let's just wire the golf thing into these Japanese guys. Why would you go? It's golf Disneyland. You live in golf Disneyland. Why leave? Bring your cousins over, your family, your friends.
It is my concern for Kyogo is his age. I didn't really realise until about 2-3 months ago. I'd never appreciated what age he was. And that's my concern, that this summer, if I'm his agent, is the summer that you're saying, right, if you're going to move, it's pretty much this one. You've got to do it because you're 28. I suppose he's got a chance of playing Champions League football next season and maybe getting a move the season after, but it's starting to be risky because you're 29.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest concern. Not to put a down on things, but that's my biggest concern. I hadn't paid attention to what age he was until a few months ago. And it was at the same time as somebody told me that his agent was talking to clubs in Germany. That was when I then thought, all right, that's why his agent's talking to clubs in Germany. Equally, you know, he might say, I love it at Celtic. The manager gets me and I get the manager and I've got players around me, Japanese players around me. Sound out what the Germans are saying so you can go back to Michael Nicholson and saying, look, prefer not to go. If you can just increase the salary by whatever, I don't know what he's on and I don't know what he's wanting. You know, maybe that's the best solution for all of us. His agent says, right, he wants one big deal to stay here and he'll be here for the next 3-4 years. It just doesn't tend to be the way that we work.
It's the one stat on my table that will always be red. Larson's green. Yes. He'll never be relatively younger than Henrik Larsson. So I don't know why I even have it there.
Take it off your stats table. So the next game we've got, so we've got the league and we're going to do a separate, but for people listening going, well, we've won the league and you've hardly talked about it, we will do a separate review of the league and a separate, hopefully, treble winning season podcast. Yes, I know that would mean tripling our output through May that we've done the whole season. But anyway, the next game is away at Ibrox. So we touched on that and what we think it will be. So based on everything, what's your expectation of the team from Ange for the visit to Ibrox?
I didn't really have an answer earlier on, but now I'm thinking Ange doesn't want to lose at Ibrox. Ange wants to give them another doing. You know,
the one thing I read today, and it must have been probably on Sunday, I know the way they do this, is that they sometimes have the manager speaks to the papers for the next day stuff, and then to give them stuff to release through the course of the week, then there's separate quotes that he gives that are embargoed until the next day.
Right.
So there was stuff came out yesterday from what he said in interviews, and then there was more stuff today. So for the dailies, as they call it. So one of the things was he's going to let the team play with greater freedom for the remaining 4 league games.
That could be fun.
So, yeah, I don't know whether that is just, we're not going to play with any defenders. You're just going to stick 11 attacking players on the back.
Oh, he's just going to go full Ferenc Puskás. Just on you go. 7 up front. Yes. Yeah, I'm going to get what I want. McGregor unleashed. Just going on mazes through their midfield. Oh, that'll be fantastic. I think McGregor's not going to want to lose that game. We're gonna have the bit between our teeth, aren't we? We're gonna have a real go at them.
I think he's gonna say, go out, I'm fed up. Every time we beat them, they've said they're gonna see the real Rangers.
Yeah.
Go out, enjoy your football, have no fear, because if you lose, it doesn't matter. because you're partying all week.
Yeah.
And if you win, ha ha ha. So go out and just go and enjoy your football and try, just go out and enjoy and do whatever you want to do that you think will get us to win this game. Just go and enjoy it. Pass, shoot, whenever you want.
And they're shit. And they are shit. Do you know what the thing I love most about how shit they are is that, yes, we've had the odd star that's, you know, snuck out the back door, you know, to no real glory. But for all of them, we've also had like a Larson or a Gary Hooper, whose last hurrah was like winners in cup finals. Do you mean guys that were heroes that went out as heroes?
Uh-huh.
And you think about the great Huns and Zombies, and it's like, do they forget Loudrup phoned it in because he'd signed a Bosman at Chelsea as we won the title?
Yeah, they forget that.
That was Loudrup's legacy. Gaza, you know, mid-season, red cards, spousal abuse issues, off to Middlesbrough or Everton or wherever he went. Do you know what I mean? Just like, they are crap. And they've right now, the only guys they've got on plinths are a shite right back, can't defend, and a fat striker who cannot score against us when it matters. And doesn't,
well,
he's not that good. And he's never been that good. He's never going to be that good. And now he's a fat version of someone that wasn't very good. So I'm maybe tempting fate. Maybe he'll score a hat-trick this weekend.
No, well, based on the post-match comments of their manager, who said, I made changes. And I can't remember what he calls Alfredo Morelos. Morelos came on and the energy level changed, and not for the better.
Right, so he's turned on him.
Yeah, we must be the most wasteful club in the final third of all time. He didn't just turn on Morelos, he turned on his team. He turned on his players. He talked about, you know, so obviously Kent's off, Morelos is off. He's turned on those players and said, you're crap. You keep wasting chances. So that means he's not playing. And Kolač, a couple of them, whoever the players are that aren't fit. So it looks like Fashion Sakala's playing up front for them. That would be my guess as to what he's saying about Saturday. Morelos isn't on the bench. Kent isn't on the bench. So, yeah, they are...
It could be nuts then. If we go, you know, shackles off and they go shackles off, you could end up like a 6-5 or something. It could be nuts.
I'd like to see Rocco Vatta get a game as well, or get more game time than 2 or 3 minutes, because he appears to have a bit of pace, appears to have something about him. So I'd like to see Rocco Vatta get some game time. So what's your thinking? Is Ange is going to go for it? So what's the team going to be?
Well, Hart will play, almost certainly. It'll be Ralston, definitely. It will be, yeah. It'll be Starfield and Yuki. Taylor, could he get rested? Do we even have a left-back replacement? The wee Argentine?
Burnaby.
I think he's going to play Burnaby. Although, nah, I wouldn't. If that's it, Taylor's one of these ones that kind of probably needs a rest. You know, if whispers are to be believed of sort of lingering long-term issues. You know, if it wasn't for Johnson and Carter Vickers being legitimately injured and out, you probably sense that it would be Taylor was the one that would get in the rest.
I reckon with Ralston and Yuki Kobayashi playing, I think he'll play Taylor and then rest Taylor the next few games.
That's what I'd see. He'll definitely play McGregor. Hatate might be on that quasi needs a rest.
Well, I haven't said that he was out for a few weeks, and I thought he was completely off the pace in the cup semi against Rangers. So he might look at he needs game time. I don't know.
I mean, there's so many of them. You know, it's a coin flip, isn't it? Like your Moy, I think Moy could very likely start, because I think peak Moy this season was one of our better runs, you know, form, and Moy played himself up to being a really good Celtic player. But then he got rushed back from that injury, and it was a car crash at Hampden, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I'd have to assume that Moy would be back in contention, and I'd pick Moy over potential alternatives in the situation, and offering a rest to others that maybe need it or would appreciate it or benefit from it.
So is he going to start? Is he going to play with your Haksabanovic Abada thing that we talked about earlier? Or is he going to play Maeda and Jota?
Oh, I'd love to see Haksabanovic Jota. That'd be a treat. Admittedly, both of them can't play on the left, but I could see him playing. He loves Maeda. Maeda's his guy, isn't he? It's one of his generals that he has utter faith in. So what you're saying about sort of unleashing them, it'll be like, right, Maeda and Jota, but just go out and have fun and enjoy it. Give these guys, run at them, give them a doing, do your thing. That's got to be it, isn't it?
Yeah, somebody, and then tell somebody to put Cantwell up there because he's a fan dancer. To use the old-fashioned terminology. We're building a team around Cantwell. That's where they've moved to. You know how they have this amazing thing to never dwell on their inadequacies? It's always, no, because out of the shit has come this diamond who is Cantwell, and see from now on we're going to be brilliant because we've got Cantwell. This time last season it was Hadji. He seems to have, I mean, I know he had a long injury, but he's disappeared as being there. We're building a team around Hadji. Don't know who it was before Hadji, can't remember now.
Dean Windass Jr. or whatever his name was.
So what's the score going to be?
I think it'll be nuts. Let's go 3-1. Celtic win. Go with that. I think I don't want to say anything positive about Huns or Zombies, but the name of balance that game last week handed Cantwell, is that his name?
Yes.
He didn't hide. A proper shite bag hides. And I know after the game you see all that shit with the water bottle and all that shit, and you realise, he's a total arsehole. Like, I get that. But he's not an arsehole who hides and disappears. He was involved in the match. Having seen many a player shrink in that environment from both teams, I would, a little bit of applause to Cantwell for not being he's not hiding, and I think that's to be applauded. But I do, think every player's, like that 60th minute before we do all the substitutions, everyone who's coming off, it should be right. 1, 2, 3, all have a pop at this arsehole. Just for badness. Take the yellow, get off.
Well, interestingly, the other thing in the goalkeeping thing, they dropped their 40-year-old at the weekend, and they played Robbie McCrory. For I think only second or third game. One of his other games was against us. He has played against us last season, and then he played again against Aberdeen. So maybe they'll play Robbie McCrory and go. And I'm pretty sure when he played last time, we drew 0-0 with him. And then they beat Aberdeen, obviously, 1-0. So there you go. He's not letting in the goals. In that one. So we'll see. So you're going with 3-1.
Yeah. Kyogo, he just likes scoring against them, doesn't he? We've got too many guys that like scoring against them. What we need? We need someone that can hit a free kick.
Well, that's it. Well, two things. One, Jota did that against Real Madrid and put it in the top corners, and we've not seen any indication that
they led a free
again.
Kick since then, though.
But secondly, do you not find whenever that we don't actually get that many free kicks.
That's what it feels like, yeah.
Yeah. It's almost as if, see when we have players who can put the ball in the back of the net from free kicks in those positions, Nakamura, Maloney, Van Hooijdonk, Mravchik. When those players play, we seem to get free kicks at the edge of the box. And when we have players who can't take free kicks, we don't seem to get them in the first place. So maybe it's not the end of the world.
It's strange it's not like we've got guys that are bad at hitting free kicks.
Well,
just not getting free kicks.
Yeah, but any time we do get a free kick there, nothing comes from it, as I say. Only Jota against Real Madrid was the only one I can think of that we've had. But anyway, right, so 3-1, Kyogo's going to score, and Ange's going to unleash the team, and he's going to play Bakayoko, any man saves at the back. Hart's not starting. And we'll go from there. Right. Well, with that, Anthony Murray, I will say thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
So last time out, I did promise you more podcasts along at some indeterminate point in the future, and here we are, our second one inside 10 days. There will be more along soon at another indeterminate date that we will review the season review, hopefully the treble, and I'm hoping to have one out next week where we review a victory at Ibrox, but let's see, it will depend on the team as we discussed. Anyway, that was me, Harry Brady, with him, Anthony Murray, saying goodnight and God bless. Goodnight.
Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love. Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring